Welcome to the Isles Buzz podcast. This is your one-stop shop for everything surrounding your New York Islanders. And now, here are your hosts, Dan Petru and Noel Fogelman.
Yeah, this is our last show. The Islanders have not lost. They're on a 4-game winning streak. It's a weird 4-game winning streak, to say the least.
Well, maybe we shouldn't do a show. Maybe that's the problem.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bunch of, you know, overtime wins. For October is, you know, strong as always. But, they've not played in a lot of these games, but they've come out with W's.
They haven't been on play completely in all the games. I would say the worst one was St. Louis, but the other ones are pretty even for the most part. I mean, yes, they have not played their best hockey yet, but they're winning, so who cares? That's all that matters. Look, in October, you can't make the playoffs in October, but you can play yourself out of the playoffs in October.
The chip points count as much in October as you do in March. You take the wins, you bank the points. As Bill Parcells used to say, you're as good as your record. So they're 5-3. And right now,
and considering like the roster up front that they're putting on the ice right now with their because of their injuries and whatnot, you take any points you can get.
Yeah, absolutely. And naturally, we bury the lead, and we'll talk with the radio voice of the Islanders, Chris Kuhn, a little bit. He'll give us some updates on the injured players, who's close to coming back, and what they have a 4-day break, which helps obviously because even Andrew Ladd is practicing. A couple other weird injuries. Kunakko's out. Komarov has got the sniffle, so it's a lot of down Islanders at the moment.
Yes, it is. But I mean, a lot of the guys I would consider they're interchangeable, whether it's Komarov or Kunakko or whatnot. They do need Eberle back, and it sounds like Sidik is close. But this team is in a battle to score goals. That's the biggest thing. Defense, yeah, that's fine. Goaltending, yep, that's fine. Actually, power play, that's been fine.
Yeah.
They just need to find a way to score goals, and they also need to find a way to generate more power plays. Part of the reason they don't have the puck enough in the other end.
Yes, and one very, very encouraging sign was Matt Barzal's play this week. When he shoots and when he's aggressive like that, it makes him that more dangerous and gives him another dynamic, and this is something you want to see because they don't have a player like that who can generate his own offense. And if Barzal can do that, it just makes the team that much more better, gives other players availability to rebounds and that and stuff like that. So if he can do this and open up his own line of skincare products like Kylie Jenner, he'll be great.
He has to be more aggressive. I'm sure that finally has gotten to his head. Like, look, we don't have a lot of goal scorers. You can score goals if you just shoot. Also, it's the more he shoots, the more those lanes will be open to make those passes. And it'll make everyone around him better. So he needs to take games over, and he has been taking games over. He's the only playmaker on this team. He's the only game breaker on this team. So you have to be happy with what you're seeing from him so far. So that's definitely a very encouraging sign.
Yes, another encouraging sign. You mentioned before, the goaltending has been really good lately. Well, it's also great to see how long they can keep up his goalie rotation, because I really thought that they would play Varlamov on Saturday. If they grace, it worked out.
Yeah, yeah. Another thing, too, is we were talking, you mentioned about the 4-game win streak and they were outplayed, blah, blah, blah. That's what they're best, which is all true. But the bottom line is they beat St. Louis, the semifinal cup champions. They won in Winnipeg, which is a very hard place to win, no matter how bad the Jets are or what they're trying to find their way. And they beat the Florida Panthers, who are probably going to be a playoff team. So those are good teams that they've beaten.
Yeah, and, Columbus hasn't gotten off to that bad a start after losing all their players and then Cannon. So, to escape a win there after that was out of all the games, I guess you can kind of bookend the 20 streak. They played really bad for 54 minutes against the Blues, KO the win. That second period was atrocious against Columbus.
It was.
Laid down the law. They came out with the win. And it's good to know that. You look at football this week, and just this weekend, the disaster of the Jets and Giants, and their coaching staffs are just in over their heads. They're both terrible coaching staffs. They both should have gotten fired this weekend. Just to sit back and watch the best coach in New York, Barry Trotz, just know what buttons to push. And this is
his staff is amazing, though. It's not just him, though. Lamorello's put it together one of the best staffs in the game.
Yeah, you know, we talked about we would kill Lou about, you know, the player transactions and trades and stuff. The biggest move was bringing Trotz in. I don't care if it fell in his lap. If Garcinoe was still here, he wouldn't have made that move. He would have kept Capuano. He would have kept Lee. So for him to even just to make that move, it's still a move that he made. So you have to acknowledge the fact that he did it under his watch. And it's paid off dividends. Barry Trotz is a phenomenal coach. And he knows what buttons to press. And this team, 10 days ago, everyone was writing this team off. This team was terrible, this and that. Meanwhile, they're 5-3 right now and a better start than last year.
Yeah, oh no, look, they're still trying to find their way. It's definitely still a work in progress. It's also some Band-Aid lines and some mass units because of injuries. But it is what it is. It's a team that will play good defense, a team that, whose goaltending will be solid. It's just they have to find enough goals. And if the power play, if they can generate more power plays and keep the power play up like they've been doing, they're going to be absolutely fine.
Yeah, you mentioned, you know, the phenomenal staff, Lane Lambert, John Madden, Jim Miller, you know, welcome addition for this power play unit. And, you know, they convert on their chances. They don't get a lot, but they convert on that this year.
It helps with the aggressiveness of Matt Barzal, too.
Yes, it certainly does.
They don't, that will make everything on the power play better. If he is going to start curling off the faceoff dot and putting the puck on net as opposed to looking to a pass, well, then that's going to make Pulak's life a little easier. That's going to make Taze's life a little easier because then there's going to be shooting lanes. The more aggressive Barzal is, the more it will benefit everyone on the team.
Yeah, and he seems to do that a lot against the Jets. He did it last year. He had the hat trick, 2 goals this year. So he just has to picture those beautiful jerseys from Winnipeg every single game. Because, you know,
yeah,
they're,
that's really the most goals he scored against one team is in Winnipeg.
Yeah.
In his career so far.
Yeah, right.
We'll kind of like trivia for you.
Yeah, and it's a shame that they're done already on October 22nd.
Yeah, I know. It's a little weird. They play each other within a week.
Yeah, and speaking of October 22nd, happy 70th birthday to Butch Goring.
Yeah.
We'll pick him out for people in the toy department.
Yes.
So, yeah, the dirty areas.
I still don't understand how he can have 2 dogs and not name them Chip and Chase.
I know, right?
we need to have him on the show. We need to talk about that.
Yeah. Well, maybe he'll adopt a couple more. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, how do you not name your dogs Chip and Chase?
I know.
And speaking of dogs, the Islanders have a new guide dog who they'll be training, and the contest is underway. Wednesday, they'll reveal her name, and it's got to be Tori, right? It's got to be Tori.
I would imagine, yeah.
I can't think of anything else other than that. It's got you got Radar, or you got to have Tori.
Yeah, I totally agree. You know, I mean, unless you're DeBossi, you're going to do...
No, it's
Tori. As you know, for Bright Friday, but, you know. But, yeah, I think Tori works. I think
yep.
Especially a female dog, you know, it's perfect. But we tweeted out something earlier, a major announcement.
Yes, major announcement.
Yeah. So we are going to do another live show from the Offside Tavern.
Yes, we are going back to Offside.
Yes, January 4th to Saturday.
Yes.
Before the road game against Toronto. So,
oh, okay. There's no storylines there.
None whatsoever. So, Tavares will be back from his, you know, broken finger by
ooh.
Then. Yeah, John Tavares. And you know what? We'll think of a cool gimmick. We have to get something cool that if someone does something, we'll just buy them a couple beers. Maybe if they bring like a Naboo Starfighter or something like that. There. So, you can say if you bring pajamas, everyone can wear pajamas.
We should have a theme here or the best. Troll of 91 will get an award. Yeah, we'll win something. Absolutely.
Yeah,
we'll develop this a little bit more, but that's what we're going with right now.
Yeah.
So you come to Offside Tavern, you have some kind of gimmick to make fun of 91. Yeah, and the best one will definitely win something.
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, the show started about 5:30. We're still locking in guests. It's gonna be a fun night. We've had, you know, a great crowd the last 2 times we were there.
Yeah.
This time we'll actually be at the Florida game. You know, the first time we did our 100th show, and it was during preseason on a Tuesday.
But we didn't
know how long the show was, so we had to do it once the show fell out for the 100th. And then we did last year before the Vertibees game. Another 2-1 loss, as always.
Well, you know what we need to do? We need to figure out how many episodes we've done, because I've lost count, and we need to make that one the 150th.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
so we're going to have to do...
So we might even be close to, like, maybe one. I don't know. I'll have to, you know, go back in the catalog. But,
okay.
Do some, you know, math, along with the over-unders that we've had.
Yeah, the ones that we never paid off.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, that event should be a lot of fun. And another player who seems to just missed out on his first NHL goal has been Oliver Wahlstrom. He looks like he belongs here. Unfortunately, I think this day is going to be short-lived.
Why is that?
Because you're getting all these healthy guys back.
Yeah, but Everly still has some time. He's still going to be probably at least a couple weeks.
Gosh.
Just started skating on his own. He's going to be at least probably 10 days away.
Right. So, I mean, that's short-lived. I'm not saying he's going back tomorrow.
But I mean, hey, if he keeps playing like this, he might not go back. There's plenty of guys they can send out.
The only guy I can possibly see, I mean, Ross Johnson has been playing pretty well, and he's kind of bumped. I think him and Matt Marnick are kind of like alternate, it seems like.
Could send Kunako down.
He'd be the only guy, I think. I know we had this conversation last week, and since we did, he scored his first goal of the year, Michael Del Cole. They're not going to waive Michael Del Cole. I'm sorry. They're just not going to give up on the guy.
No, they're probably not.
You know, and someone would take them. So Kunako would be the only guy. And if you lose, then you lose, and it's not the end of the world. But, I mean, I would love to see Wahlstrom sit up here. It's just a numbers game, unfortunately.
Yeah, and, you know, he's also 19, and he has played well, but he hasn't, you know, he hasn't had 5 goals in 2 games. So,
no.
Production counts, too, so let's see where he is when that decision has to be made. Because if he starts producing, he's not going anywhere.
Right. But he has to make the decision difficult for Lou and Barry. And, so far, he's held his own. But
he passes the eye test. Yeah, he passes the eye test.
Yeah. But let's send a bon voyage to Lucas Pisa, who signed with the Anaheim Ducks today and got sent down to San Diego, so he has to clear waivers. I imagine he would. That'd be kind of funny. That's going to be a homage claim. That'd be kind of funny.
That would be funny, yes.
Yeah, but yes, you know, happy trails. That kind of leaves a spot open for Dennis Heidenberg, right, to hop on the old PTO.
Well, no, now Noah Dobson's living at his house, so you know he's just a billet, apparently, at this point.
Oh, did you see those pictures?
They're hilarious.
Yeah. His wife is good for Dennis, you know? But
are you surprised that a professional athlete has an attractive wife?
Of course not. Of course not.
Okay.
Yeah. But it just cracks me up because Dobson looks like he's 12. You know, it just really looks like
his
mother's son, you know, but... It's pretty funny. All right.
But wait, before we get to Chris, do you want to do Tweet of the Week now or do you want to do Tweet of the Week after Chris?
Let's do
it
now. That's exactly what I think to toss out there. Our second Tweet of the Week, we had a lot of positive feedback last week. My mother loved the idea. She goes
good. That's good.
Where my wife, the lovely Jody, said, "You guys do the podcast?" So...
Did she really say that?
No, I'm joking about both of them.
Okay. No, I can see your mom listening to the show.
She does once in a while, but I mean, come on. Yeah, you know, both of us. Okay. So we had a bunch of different nominees this week, but the theme of the week, I really want to do something as far as the whole Kylie Jenner thing, but it wasn't a tweet because it was a quote. So you really couldn't go that way. So that was, I guess you can go the quote of the week, but that, we don't do that. So the tweet of the week.
Different show.
Exactly. So that kind of falls to the second story of the week was Trotz, you know, laying into his team during Chatty's game against the Blue Jackets. There were a lot of different tweets about the subject, but we found the best one, _ Jimmy Ariel. Angry Trotz will be my nightmares, which I don't
Amy, read one more time. Read one more time.
Angry Trotz will be in my nightmares.
Yeah, that's fantastic, because he lit that team up.
Exactly. And,
responded, though. They responded and played very well for the rest of the game.
Exactly. And, you know, a head coach like that knows when to do it. You know, whereas, like, say, John Tortorella, who just yells all the time, players, you know, tune that out. When you do it, when you need to do it, players respond to that, and that's what Trotz knows how to do.
Yes, yes. So that's one of our the first authentic winner of the Tweet of the Week since we took our colleague Dan's tweet last week. So, but keep them coming. We're always watching. We're looking at the Isles hashtag, and who knows, maybe your tweet will be the tweet of the week.
Yes, exactly. Use the hashtag IslesBuzz if you think you have a great tweet. And after the break, the radio voice of the New York Islanders, Chris King.
And joining us now is the radio voice of the New York Islanders, Chris King. Kinger, how's it going tonight?
I'm great. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great. Thank you so much for joining us. A little bit of an injury update from practice today. We had some surprises there and some people hopefully getting healthy soon.
Yeah, I think the pleasant surprise is Casey Cizikas was back out there. So he was, you know, flying all over the ice, doing normal things. At one point, barreled over the net. And, you know, Barry Trotz said, "Welcome back, Zika." And he had a big smile on his face. Andrew Ladd is no longer wearing the orange no-contact jersey. So good to see him in the same practice, both blue and white, as everybody else. Although he was skating on defense, believe it or not, just to make it a fourth pair opposite Noah Dobson. So those two back out there is good news. The other side of it was still no Jordan Eberle. Leo Komarov was not out there today. He missed Saturday's game in Columbus. And also Tom Kunackle was getting, quote-unquote, a maintenance day, according to the head coach. So, yeah, just nice to see Cizikas and Ladd rejoining the group, and hopefully the others will follow suit. And, you know, that could be one of the benefits of this light schedule where the Islanders are only playing three times in 12 days. You hopefully will get all your guys back in action.
Now, I know the general manager, Lou Lamoriello, has expected Ladd probably back towards the end of November. With the plethora of forwards on this roster right now, where does Andrew fit once he's finally healthy? Could he go to Bridgeport maybe for conditioning? It's kind of a lot to come from.
Yeah, I mean, that's a possibility for sure if you just want to get him some game action. Yeah, that especially that left side is pretty crowded right now. If you kind of go down the left wing, which is what he normally plays, you're talking Anders Lee, Anthony Beauvillier, Josh Bailey, and then, you know, Matt Martin and Ross Johnson have split that full-line left wing spot of recent memory. So it'd be interesting to see. You know, you could always shift Bailey back to the right. He certainly played a ton there. And, you know, people forget that Andrew Ladd really did a nice job with Matt Barzal in his rookie year. It really was Barzal between Ladd and Eberle for most of that season until Andrew Ladd got hurt. And then Anthony Beauvillé went in Ladd's spot and kind of caught fire with Barzella. And, you know, the two youngsters had a lot of fun the remainder of that rookie campaign. So I think, you know, you got to start him out slow, maybe a third-line slot, see what he can do there. And then he can beat the Andrew Ladd of old, which is, you know, incredible leadership all those years as captain of the Winnipeg Jets, two Stanley Cups, one with Carolina, one with Chicago. That's a terrific guy to welcome back in your lineup. But, yeah, it's a tough spot right now. But I think the most natural thing would be to slide Bailey back to the right and let him jump in on a third line with maybe Derek Brassard, who's currently centering that third group.
Now, let's stay with the third line a little bit. Oliver Wahlstrom, who made his debut a couple weeks ago, has not looked out of place. You know, he's got a couple of chances to score his first NHL goal. Would he be the logical choice to be sent down to Bridgeport, or has he done enough to kind of state his case to be kept up here?
Yeah, you know, I asked Derek Brassard that question in Columbus on Saturday morning, and he said, no, he belongs here. He said, he's shown me everything he needs to show me, and everybody, you know, to a man talks about his incredible release, and the puck just leaps off his stick. It absolutely explodes, guys. And, you know, it's the other parts of the game that have surprised the Islanders a little bit. Derek Brassard said he was really impressed with his wall play and how well he protected the puck, and Josh Bailey raved about his physical game, that first game at home against St. Louis, where it looked like he was shot out of a cannon. He was hitting everything in sight. So, you know, they want to get him on the score sheet, obviously. He had three great chances against St. Louis. In Winnipeg, Hellebuck made a crazy glove save on him, and then he hit the crossbar in Columbus. So it looks like it's getting closer for that goal for Oliver Wahlstrom. And yeah, with everybody coming back in this light schedule, you know he realizes what the numbers could be. So I think, you know, if he lights the lamp a few times, it certainly would help his case to stay when everybody gets healthy and is ready to return.
That's one thing that's really stood out to me is he plays bigger than he looks, although he is a good size. He skates better than he looks, although he's not a bad skater. He's quicker than I thought he would be. He's more physical than I thought he'd be. And he has a bit of a pain. Like, other teams have been agitated by him.
Yeah, and, you know, I agree with you, but it's funny because Barry Trotz today was I'm not going to say was down on him, but was saying that, you know, he hasn't been in the most recent game in Columbus. where he was against St. Louis. So again, and Barry said that's a natural thing for all players who come up to the National Hockey League for the first time. That first game is always, you know, they're on adrenaline. They're absolutely on adrenaline. And he said the challenge is to have that kind of effort in game two and game three. And, you know, he used his hand to show here's where, you know, Wahlstrom was against St. Louis and here's where he was Saturday against Columbus. And it was a couple of notches down from that. So, you know, Barry's looking at that entire game. We are all watching, you know, that incredible release. And, you know, you see why he scored 48 goals for the U.S. national team a couple of years ago, and you salivate over the possibilities of him doing that, and he is getting some power play time, so Barry's giving him those opportunities, but Barry also needs to see those other parts of his game, that, you know, that work along the boards, that physical play, that 200-foot game that's so important to be a member of the Islanders, stay where it was against St. Louis, which in Barry's mind, it wasn't Saturday in Columbus.
Now, the Islanders are 5-3, four-game winning streak. What do you make of this start? I mean, because they haven't played the cleanest hockey, but yet again, they're better than they were last year through eight games.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, guys, because you look at how it started, right? 1-3 out of the chute in the four games, and then since then, the four-game winning streak where they've won once in regulation, twice in overtime, and once in a shootout. So, you know what they say, you know, good teams find a way to win, and I think that's what they've done the last four games. Early on in the season, when it wasn't there, they would find a way to lose rather than win. So, the fact they're winning in all different manners, you are starting to see some of those signs of, you know, how good they were at locking down a game in which they had the lead, particularly in Winnipeg. I thought, you know, that was the game that most resembled the Islanders of a year ago, where you get that lead and then you just shut it down in the third period and don't give the other team a sniff and hit the empty net to seal the victory. So we are seeing signs of it coming around, and again, it is still a learning curve for the couple of guys that are new, and certainly one of those guys is Semyon Varlamov, and I think, you know, he's been terrific the last two games, whereas early on, you know, he's still learning the ways of the new goalie coaches he deals with each and every day, and Mitch Korn and Piero Greco. But I think the fact that, you know, you got those four wins, you've been splitting goalies every single game. You know, Barry Trotz has alternated Greisen and Varlamov, and that worked well from last year with Robin Leonard and Greisen, and so far it's worked well this year. And, you know, you got the four wins, and each of those goalies has two of them.
Yeah, it just seems like, okay, goaltending check, defense check. Now the offense needs to, you know, there's going to be a stretch all year. Is there enough goals in this front? To 12, are there enough goals out of this forward group to really make the Islanders compete for not only playoffs but the division and farther? One thing that I have noticed, though, is this team goes by Matthew Barzal. He is by far the most elite playmaker on the team. He is the offensive catalyst of the team. This team looks different when he shoots the puck.
Yeah, and I agree with you, and it's very funny that if you look at the breakdown, okay, the first four games of the year, the Islanders won one of those. They were 1-3. Matt Barzal had one assist in those four games, okay? The last four games, they've won them all. He has four goals, two assists, 6 points. So there it is in a nutshell, right? As he goes, they go. And that key thing you touched on there, he has adopted a shoot-first mentality, which has never been there in his first 2 years in the National Hockey League. He was always a pass-first guy. And Barry Trotz talked about it today extensively. They did talk him into using a new stick this season, which, again, is going to allow him to shoot the puck a little bit better. And the fact that Barry said, look, you can't be predictable that you're going to pass the puck every time, because then the defense knows what you're going to do and the other team's goalie knows what you're going to do. He goes, you got to have that deception in your game. That's the word he used, deception. So he said, find the balance. Don't let him know when you're going to shoot. Don't let him know when you're going to pass. And, you know, Matt himself said in that Winnipeg game was a classic example. He had a 2-on-1. He said, a year ago, I would have passed that puck 100% of the time. Instead, he let it rip and it found the back of the net, and that was the game-winning goal. You look at the power play goal. You know, Bailey's putting it through the seam, and he's one-timing it home from the right dot, from the left dot with a right-handed shot, a la Alexander Ovechkin's office spot there. So we're seeing things from Matt goal-scoring-wise and shooting-wise that we haven't seen through his first 2 years here in year three.
And I just want to talk a little bit about Noah Dobson, who hasn't played for a while now. It could be, you know, because of, you know, the light schedule. Johnny Boychuk has looked fantastic the times he's been in there. Is that pretty much the only swap is going to be Dobson for Boychuk throughout the year?
Yeah, it's a great question, guys. You'd be hard-pressed to make a case for anybody else coming out for him, though. As good as he is and as good as he's looked, and certainly, you know, that great pass to Matt Martin in his NHL debut for a goal and pick up an assist on that, and just his heads-up play. He reminds you of, you know, Ryan Pulock in offensive ways. He reminds you of Devon Taves in offensive ways. And, you know, I thought he looked very good in those games where he came in. But the funny thing is, once he came out and Johnny Boychuk was back in, Boychuk, you could make a case, has been the best defenseman on the team through this run of four straight wins. Johnny, I think, had a goal and two assists, 3 points in the four wins, and just, you know, doing the old Johnny Boychuk things where he's blocking shots, he's losing his stick, he's a warrior out there, he's, you know, kicking the puck into the zone after about that two-minute shift at the Coliseum against the Blues recently. So Johnny's just shown us everything that, you know, the Islander fans had seen from Johnny Boychuk earlier in his career. So I don't know whether it was, you know, Johnny being a healthy scratch that one time that allowed Dobson in, that lit a fire under him, but he's been terrific. And again, I don't think you could make a case to take out any of the other five in order to get Noah Dobson in. So, you know, you wait and see. I couldn't come up with any of the other five that I would say, you know, would need a break, unless you just decide on back-to-backs like the Islanders do have, home Thursday and then in Ottawa Friday, that you want to try to rotate somebody out and just give Dobson a chance to get back in, because he has sat for quite a while now because of Boychuk's resurgence.
And you can see he has shown some glimpses of what he can do. And I do think over the course of the season, you know, injuries are going to occur. And by the time we get to April, you'll see Dobson playing at least 40 games, maybe more. So, you know, he's 19. He's won two straight Memorial Cups. There's no reason to send him back to juniors. Now, you're also, and you mentioned Devon Toews. I wanted to touch on him because Barry has given him a big role. His ice time is going up, and you're starting to see just a pleasant surprise from him. His offensive abilities are through the roof.
Absolutely, and you know what? You kind of made your own point there, because let's remember back to last year, right? Devon Toews is in Bridgeport and probably never comes up to the NHL if Thomas Hickey doesn't get hurt. But Thomas Hickey gets hurt, that opens the door for Devon Toews, and then we all see the guy that, you know, we hoped he would be throughout his entire career leading up to his National Hockey League debut. So, yeah, I really like his two-way game. You know, he's on one of those power play units now where the unit he's on, he's the lone defenseman on, so it's a little different look than that other unit right now that has both Pulock and Letty. Letty kind of working in the bumper spot. But I love the fact that, you know, he's so good at both ends, and, you know, he opened so many eyes last year. And just, again, I like the pairings, the way they kind of break down. All three pairings now feature an offensive defenseman and a defensive defenseman. So you look at, you know, the offensive side of it, it's going to be Toews, Pulock, Letty. Then the defensive side of it, obviously you got Pellick, Mayfield, and Johnny Boychuk. So there's really nice balance among those three pairings. And for Devon Toews, you know, Scott Mayfield is just a perfect partner. And I talked to Scotty today about that. He felt, you know, they're still rounding their defensive game into form. And you know, there have been moments like Saturday in Columbus where they got hemmed in their own end for about 3 minutes and couldn't get out of it, where, you know, they need to cut those times down where they spend in their own end. But, you know, Scotty talked about that layered approach that he and Devon Toews and the whole team try to play with, and I expect the defense to improve as the season goes along. But, yeah, I love, you know, both sides of Devon Toews' game right now. Such a good puck rusher, such a good quarterback. It can really shoot the puck, and it's fun to watch him, you know, thrive now in his first full season in the National Hockey League.
And touching upon the goaltenders, you mentioned Varlamov. His last two starts have been fantastic. I actually thought they'd go back to Varlamov in Saturday against Columbus, but I know Trotz is doing the rotation. Do you know how long, or have an idea how long he's going to stay with this rotation? Because it doesn't seem like one goalie can get into a groove.
Yeah, it's a tough question, guys, because of the way the schedule is. And it's a perfect example of what you said. I think a lot of us thought, hey, look, Varley was terrific in Winnipeg. Let's let him play in Columbus. But if you let him play in Columbus, then Thomas Greiss would have gone 9 days without playing a game.
Right.
So the schedule is just so crazy right now. They're, you know, 4 days off, then play 3 games in 4 nights, then 4 days off again. So they only have 3 games in a dozen days. And you don't want either guy to lose focus. Barry talked about this in Columbus on Saturday morning. He said, I need them to stay sharp. That's what I need them to do. So he's got to continue to rotate them. You know, basically, it's been every other game, you know, starting the game either Varlamov or Greiss through the first eight, and I would think with back-to-backs, certainly, you know, Thursday at home against Arizona, and then boom, Ottawa the very next night, that's going to be a split. And then suddenly 2 nights later, you know, you're hosting the Flyers at the Coliseum. I would think, you know, that the guy that played in Ottawa is certainly not going to play that game either. So I think the rotation for the time being is going to be continued. But Barry did say, you know, much like last year, he kind of had a feeling out process between Greiss and Leonard. But then you know, there were some injuries to Robin Leonard that allowed Greiss to run with the ball a little bit. Then Robin got hot and he had a little run. So, you know, Barry's going to let their play dictate that. But just right now, the schedule, more than anything else, says, hey, don't let anybody sit for 9 or 10 days, because then it's hard to get, you know, get that groove back.
One thing, one last thing that I wanted to touch on is the power play looks a lot better, and it is producing and it's generating more chances when they're on the power play, and they are scoring on the power play. However, they're not drawing any penalties. what's the correlation with that? Obviously, the power play does look better, but they're not getting at it nearly enough.
Yeah, it's crazy numbers, guys. It's, the fewest power play chances in the league, 12 through 8 games, and 6 of those 8 games, guys, they've had one power play chance or less. They had none in Columbus on Saturday. So it was very funny. I talked to Brock Nelson about it today, and he said, yeah, the only time we're on the power play anymore is in practice. So he's right. He's not getting opportunities. But, it is 4 for 12, and that is, 33.3%, which if you can hold that percentage through the course of the year, you probably set an NHL record. So I like what Jim Hiller, the new assistant coach, is doing. Obviously, he came in to replace Scotty Gomez to run the power play. Did a nice job with the Leafs power play a season ago, had a top 10 in the league. Islander power play last season was third worst. So, when they do get the chances, they're making the most of it. He is the one that's instituted that shoot-first mentality. And again, he spread the wealth. It's not like in years past where you have Unit 1 is all the big guns on the power play, and then Unit 2 comes out and you don't have anybody that's really in that top 5 power play group. He's balanced it out. Anders Lee is not on the unit with Bailey and Barzal. Anders Lee's on the unit right now with Oliver Wahlstrom. So that's your best power play guy playing with a kid who, just broke into the National Hockey League. And again, they try to just funnel those shots to the net. 4 different power play goals, 4 different players is the way it's broken down. And when you see Matt Barzal, one-timing home passes from Josh Bailey for power play goals, it tells you it's not last year's power play.
Chris, thanks for a few minutes today. We'll talk to you down the road.
All right, great talking hockey with you guys. Thanks so much.
And a special thanks to Chris for joining us tonight. He's always great when he comes on. Dan, before we go, another reminder, January 4th, Saturday, against Toronto Maple Leafs. We'll be there for the live podcast at Offsides Tavern, Dan. It should be a fun night.
Are you telling me as a reminder when to show up or everyone that's listening? Because you're probably the one who should do that. Because remember, the 100th episode, you gave Brendan Burke the wrong day for the wrong month. So I'm trying to show up. And luckily, he was still nice enough to come. So maybe that's for yourself and not for everyone else.
I'm just repeating it out. If it clicks in my memory, so be it. I redeem myself the next time. We had 4 guests last year. They all showed up. I told them the right day. So, redemption.
That's me. Right. January 4th, Offside Tavern in Chelsea. All Islander fans know where it is. We're working on some guests. Hopefully, we'll have a few, and we'll have some raffles and some prizes to make fun of John Tavares tonight. We're gonna have to come up with a name for this.
Yeah, so, we will. We'll get a crack committee on that right away.
In New York, I don't know.
Yeah, right. And before we go, you can follow all the Lighthouse Hockey podcasts on Twitter.
Yeah, give this site a follow. It's kind of new. It just started up, but that's really where you can find all the great content that Lighthouse is putting out.
Yes, that's LHH podcast on Twitter. Dan Saraceni has a couple new ones that are fantastic. And there's a rumor that there might be a new show coming soon. I don't want to give it away yet, but I will let everybody know when it becomes official.